I'm Afshin Ratansi and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from a UAE firmly part of the BRICS family after President Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan met with Vladimir Putin in Moscow before a groundbreaking summit in Russia with leaders of China, Iran, India and a myriad other geopolitical powers of this century. Here in this region, the UK-US-EU armed holocaust continues, exacerbated by the visit of arms supplier so-called Butcher Blinken, a US Secretary of State who was brought up by a confidant of a Mossad spy. With just days before a probable Donald Trump victory, Holocaust Harris and her ailing leader, Genocide Joe, have now deployed American boots on the ground to ensure the genocide. It's been a plan decades in the making, Biden first envisaging mass extermination as early as during the Sabra and Shatila massacre of 1982 in Lebanon. Joining me now from Amman, Jordan, is Professor Dawood Kitab, columnist for Arab News and Al Monitor, and former professor of journalism at Princeton University. Professor Kitab, thank you so much. Clear then that Israeli Jews are not fleeing, who aren't fleeing Israel, believe it's now a fight to the death. Support for Netanyahu at all-time highs. Zionist regime in D.C. Giving another $5.2 billion of U.S. public money to Israel and nothing but weapons from the puppet states of Western Europe.
Yeah, well, you know, this attempt by Israel, by the U.S., for many years to say that they were an honest broker has all been exposed. And there is no honest broker in this conflict at all. There is a clear supporter and, as you said, weapon supplier. I mean, the key word is supplying weapons. As long as Israel is getting weapons from the US, from the UK, and from other countries, they will continue to fight. They will continue to shoot. They will continue to bomb civilians today without any worry about accountability. And that's really the problem we have now, is that the international regime is basically dissolved into not doing anything. And yet for Ukraine, they are willing to put sanctions and boycotts and everything else on Russia. So we have a dual problem here. We have a hypocrisy. We have dealing with the two different conflicts in which there's occupation in two opposite ways. One is supporting the occupier and one opposing the Russians. So we have a genuine problem with the international order now. And I think, as you said, there's no real interesting difference between the two candidates for the U.S. elections now.
You know, headlines here in Dubai, the president of the UAE, MBZ, and President Putin. Did the BRICS summit come too late in Kazan, Russia this week? Not really covered in propaganda media in NATO countries. But did it come too late? President Pezeshkian of Iran also there with representatives from Saudi Arabia and, of course, as I said, the UAE and Russia and China. Did it come too late? Will all the Palestinians have been exterminated by the time all these countries come together to oppose U.S. hegemonic genocide?
Well, I mean, I wish it was that easy. I don't think even this BRICS coalition is that tight. I mean, they have different opinions on the U.S., and I think maybe the only thing that they agree on is to find currency other than the U.S. dollar, and that's why we see the gold is shooting up in many places, because that's what the BRICS is all about, is just finding an economy that's different than the U.S. dollar. I don't expect them to be much different than we've expected. They've been talking and they've been fighting, but I don't think that they will create the kind of coalition we all want, which is to end this one polar world of Washington basically dictating to the rest of the world. I don't know if we will succeed in that.
But clear that Russia and China are on the side of Palestine, that the Russians have been helping Iran. Sure. I mean, U.S. elections just over a week away. Would the United States bomb Iran when it responds to whatever Netanyahu does and begins killing American soldiers on the ground? Because, of course, Joe Biden and Harris have put, and Kamala Harris have deployed U.S. troops on the ground who will be killed by Iranian strikes.
Yeah, it's very interesting that I'm reading the Woodward book on war, and every chapter is Americans saying no soldiers, no boots on the ground in Ukraine. But here we clearly have a boots on the ground, not defending indigenous population against an occupier, but supporting a genocidal occupation. So it's very hypocritical what America stands for. And yes, you are right that if and when the Israelis carry out any kind of attack on Iran, Iran will not be quiet. And, you know, the tit for tat, what's going to happen after that? Will the Americans be involved in an offensive situation or a defensive situation, especially if it's happening right at the turn of the elections and whatever will happen, whether it will be a clear election or contested elections and results and so on? We're entering a kind of a very strange zone in the next month or so, and God help us all. I mean, it's going to be a bloody October and November, unfortunately.
Yeah, Bob Woodward, I can't remember whether he was Robert Redford or Dustin Hoffman in the Watergate film Washington Behind Closed Doors. Which one was it? I can't remember. But the entire Beltway, no doubt Anthony Blinken himself and Bill Burns, they're all reading that book you're reading. Absurd, did you find? I mean, its lies on Ukraine are palpable, but when it envisaged the fact that somehow the Patriot missile system could bring down an Iranian hypersonic missile, Bob Woodward just an idiot, or he's just a stenographer clearly getting the sources from the CIA?
You know, the book is interesting reading because it takes you inside.
We're not trying to advertise it here, obviously.
No, but I'm just saying that I'm going to criticize it because the... You know, unfortunately, even so-called, you know, professional journalist has fell into a lot of traps that the Israelis have put. I mean, he repeats the Zionist narratives that children were burned, children were beheaded, and, you know, mass rape took place. All of that has been disproven. I don't know why he would put it in a book with, I don't know who's doing the fact-checking, but there's so many documented proof that all this narrative stuff is not proven. And then when it comes to the Baptist Hospital or the Al-Ahli Hospital, is owned and controlled by a church, the Bob Woodward just said a hospital, as if it's, you know, kind of a neutral name. It doesn't want to show the American Christians that there is a Christian community in Gaza that has been bombed and been killed, and that children and women are being sniped by snipers. So, yes, I mean, as I said, it's, you know, it might be colorful reading, but it's far away from some of the factual issues.
Yeah, Bob Woodward, played by Robert Redford in All the President's Men, was the film by Pakula. The fact that he can do that, to censor that and repeat the lies about beheaded babies on October the 7th, means that he believes it. Probably not best to blame the publisher, after all. Symptomatic of the fact that elites in the United States are... either propagandized or just outwardly backing the genocide?
Well, you know, it doesn't matter whether they believe it or not. If it's not true and you publish it, you put yourself in a very bad position. The book has his name on it. And when you talk about burnt and charred children and raped women and so on, and anyone who's been doing any research would easily fact check that to be incorrect. I mean, I think he's fallen into the trap, whether he believes it or not. I really don't care what he thinks, what he believes. Well, I care what's in the printed book. And in the printed book, he makes these lies and he repeats them without even attempting to say allegedly or whatever. You know, he doesn't even use the word allegedly. He just takes it as for granted. And nevertheless, it's interesting that the book has quite a negative view of the Israelis. In a number of places, they say, 50% of the time, the Israelis tell us the intel. We have the intel on this that proved to be incorrect. So even in that, even despite all this, he's saying that a lot of the things in the book, a lot of the claims made by the Israelis to the Americans are lies, and they still continue to give them weapons and to believe their lies. They're like trying to find ways to help them out to make a better plan. About you know, civilians and so on. And the Israelis say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to let in food. And they accept that as being, okay, well, whatever you say, you know, type of thing. Or do you really know what it would be the result of all this? You're losing a lot of popular support. Big deal. Yes, I mean, I think it's very interesting to see some of the internal discussions between Israel and the U.S. And again, as I said in the beginning of the show, there's no a neutral observer here. The Americans are fully, 100%, fully pledged with the Israelis. They're not an honest nor a broker.
And why did anyone believe that they were after Oslo anyway? And what is wrong with all these journalists? You're a professor of journalism. Are the journalists just lazy, incompetent, or do they want the extermination of Palestinians? Certainly reading the propaganda press in NATO countries, you'd assume reading the Washington Post or the New York Times that the editors there want them all, the babies all without heads in Gaza.
Yes, I think there is a mixture of wanting to believe the Israeli narrative, even though, you know, it's not wrong at night. But also, I would say, a premeditated attempt to show the bias of the Israelis. And in some small cases, laziness. I mean, some of the journalists are just lazy and they don't do the extra effort of just Googling some of these issues that can clearly prove that what they're saying is wrong. So in all these cases, the fact is, I don't care what the motivation is, whether they believe it or not, whether they are lazy or not, they're publishing lies and they're actually keeping. You know, one of the things that nobody's talked about enough is that not a single foreign journalist has been in Gaza for over a year. There's no war in the world, in the last century. All wars, there are journalists. This is the one war there is no foreign journalists. Yes, there are local journalists who are being killed every other day, but foreign journalists are not there, and the Israelis are getting away with the narrative because there's nobody to kind of correct, or at least to attempt to correct.
Well, Comcast news journalists have been given embedded with the Israeli occupation forces.
Yeah, but that's not journalism. That's the propaganda. I wouldn't call that journalism. But the point that I'm trying to say is normally if somebody from the BBC or CNN or whatever, ABC, French television is not allowed to go to Iran. And every store in Iran, you will see superimposed on video, our journalist was not allowed by the Iranian government to enter into Tehran or whatever. We don't see that when they're covering Gaza. They don't tell the audience that we don't have the right or the ability to be there and to check out whether this is true or not.
Professor
so this
Dawood,
is the problem that we have.
Professor Dawood Qutob, I'll stop you there. More from the Arab News and Al Monitor columnist after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the former professor of journalism at Princeton University, Dawood Qutob. Professor Qutob, you were saying journalists could at least, in NATO countries, bother to Google things. In fairness, Google is a cutout of those agencies that are helping the Israeli genocide in the Middle East. I want to ask you what you think of the fact that while MBZ was with Vladimir Putin, it'll be noticed in Washington for the BRICS Plus summit, and MBS apparently reports saying that GCC countries will not allow their occupying bases in these countries to be used for any Israeli retaliatory attack against Iran. What dangers there are for, actually not just in the Arab world, all around the world, what dangers there are for states that oppose Blinken, Sullivan, Biden, Harris, sponsored genocide in Gaza and Jerusalem?
It's a good question. I think the Jordanians have also said they will not allow their airspace to be used. I think also, I'm sure the Egyptians have the same position. The Americans have bases in Azerbaijan and other places, and we don't know whether these bases would be used to carry out the attack if there is an attack on Iran. But the problem, of course, happens also on the other side when the Iranians try to respond. That also will create, an opportunity for some of the Western military alliances in the region to participate.
They're already participating. Britain is participating from Cyprus.
Exactly.
So is the United States.
Exactly. France and Germany are, and the U.S. are all based in the Middle East, and they are unashamedly protecting the Israelis. And countries have a right to self-determination only if their name is Israel. Everybody else doesn't have that right. The Palestinians don't have a right to to defend themselves, and the Iranians don't have that right, the Lebanese don't have that right, only Israel has that right. And, you know, as the UN Special Rapporteur said, occupying countries don't have the right to self-determination. It's the people under occupation who have a right to resistance, but the people who are occupying don't have that right. They don't earn that right. They earn that right if they end their occupation. But as long as they're an occupier, they don't have that right.
Yeah, because there were some rumours that Jordan was used in recent weeks by de facto for Israel.
Yes, of course. I mean, you know, this is a situation we have where logic, international law, anything else you want to call it, is totally unbelievably thrown in the garbage can. Nobody's even paying attention to it. There's no accountability. We're in a, you know, in a very funny zone of, you know, Israel doing whatever it wants and nobody's holding it accountable.
Is it too soon then? I mean, we can all see the pictures on social media. I think Elon Musk, everyone owes a big debt to, because he's not censoring the pictures of the brutality of the British, American, European weapons raining down on the mostly women and children in Gaza. Is it too soon to start thinking then of international justice system, how Biden, Harris, Blinken, Sullivan, Hochstein need to be jailed or face some sort of Nuremberg-style justice after November's elections for what they've done?
You know, the U.S., there is a U.S. law, a very interesting law that says that any country that prevents humanitarian aid should not get any international aid from the U.S., okay? It's a very clear law. There is no way that you can hide it. So what happened in the last period? Mr. Blinken lied. He literally lied and denied that Israel is banning humanitarian aid. I mean, the Minister of Defense of the State of Israel, the Minister of the Army, said we're not allowing anything in the book of Bob Woodward. They, you know, Netanyahu kept on telling him, Blinken, not a drop, not a single, you know, medicine. We're not going to let any food in. I mean, these are genocidal acts. And yet Blinken, in his report to the president, which he's obliged to do, wrote that Israel did not prevent humanitarian aid. What a liar. Now Blinken is saying to the Israelis, look, this time, you know, you have to allow some food into the northern Gaza, because basically I can't keep lying. I can't put myself in a situation where I've been called on already lying for you guys. I cannot keep doing that. That's unbelievable. That's what's happening in the U.S. and it's throwing even their own internal laws into the garbage bin just to protect the state of Israel.
So you think perhaps they will face justice eventually, though, for what they've done?
No.
I mean, you're saying what Blinken...
No.
Blinken, I mean, I don't know whether it's a violation, let alone of Leahy laws on supplying weaponry. He's just announced another $5.2 billion to Netanyahu. Or the U.S. Constitution itself.
You know, two-thirds of the law is in the hands of the powerful. You know, if you're governing, if you're running, if you're presiding, if you are controlling the army, you can get away with a lot more than if you were in the opposition. So a lot would depend on what happens in the U.S. elections. But if the Democrats are still in power, no way. Nobody's going to be held. Not Blinken, not anybody from the Biden administration. If Trump is in power, also, I doubt, I mean, he's also a buddy-buddy with Bibi and you know, the many Jews who have also been giving him, Zionists have been giving him a lot of money, including the Christian Zionists and so on. So, no, I don't have any real expectation of anybody facing any kind of international problem at all, or even local accountability. I don't see that. I don't think it's going to happen. And it's unfortunate.
Maybe something for the BRICS court. Can you see, though, that given how Western Europe is facing economic collapse in its self-sanctioning for the proxy war through Ukraine, BAE Systems, for instance, is Britain's largest manufacturer. The Americans have been quite open about the use of Keynesian militarism to help their economy, as if weaponry is the only business in town. Will that never be seen as a valid excuse for all the slaughter we're watching in Gaza and Jerusalem as it benefits the shareholders in...
A lot of people are making money from wars, and You know, this is known throughout history, the war rich people and the military industry loves war and supports war and lobbies for war. They're, you know, they're experimenting on our children and our women and our men and our human beings and our buildings and so on. So, yes, I mean, I don't see anybody, you know, putting any stop to wars or to the people making so much money from war. So, yeah, I mean, good luck on that one.
I mean, as a Palestinian Christian, why do you think this British-American, European Union-armed bombing of churches in Gaza is not getting any airtime on those great Christian channels like Fox News in the United States, run by Rupert Murdoch? Why are the plight of Christians in Lebanon not getting any airtime?
You know, I think, you know, I hate to say this, but the Israeli propaganda is amazingly powerful. And they're so smart, I hate to say it, between brackets, in always fortifying facts, always saying, you know, oh, we're really sorry about what happened in Gaza, and we didn't really mean to attack the hospital, we didn't mean to attack the building next to the third oldest church in Gaza, it was just an accident, it was collateral damage, we're really after the, you know, terrorists hiding behind the inside the hospital or in the basement of the hospital, all of which has proven to be totally false and fabricated and has been debunked. But this is how the Israelis do. And sometimes the Israelis, weeks and months after, they say, yeah, maybe there wasn't any children that were burned. But by that time, you know, that has become part of the lore, that part of the media history. And as I told you, Bob Woodward in his book didn't even fact check this issue, which, you know, initially Joe Biden said, yeah, children were burned. I saw children, I saw pictures, and then he said, no, I didn't see pictures. Come on. You know, lies are so easy when it comes to the Palestinians who are the victims of the genocide. So, yeah, I think it's important. I mean, to his credit, the Pope has a few times spoken out publicly on the issue of the woman who and her daughter who were sniped. Also, he said that a woman and a baby infant were also killed in front of the priest in Gaza. So, I mean, the Pope is saying that, but as you said, who's repeating that? Who's actually republishing that? Who is doing something about it? Nobody.
Yeah, well, the death of Palestinian Christians are something to do with the Gospels, as far as I understand it. You'd expect that from the Pope. Perhaps too dangerous to visit. Trump, who I suppose some people say is at least unpredictable compared to the predictability of Holocaust Harris, has said Netanyahu is doing a good job and only prevented from finishing the job by the Biden-Harris administration. Trump winning in the swing states, obviously Muslims in swing states like Michigan, definitely not going to vote for Holocaust Harris. The US election won't mean anything for the Palestinians. Will they be exterminated regardless then?
Look, I mean, I think, you know, as you said, we have two candidates who don't look favorably to the Palestinians. But I have faith in the people who are, let's say, on the left of the circle. I think, you know, Kamala Harris might not be willing to take a stand herself, but I think...
She's taken a stand. She completely supports Israel.
Yes, I understand. I understand, but she's not in power yet. We don't know what happens when she's in power. But Biden is deeply engraved and deeply involved in his Zionism, his actual publicly stated Zionism. And I think Harris will be weaker than Biden and therefore might be more willing to listen to some of the people on the left, like Bernie Sanders and others, who will be pushing for...
No, surely she'd be weaker to be able to be manipulated by the military-industrial complex that is aiding the... Aiding the genocide, I think most people would see it.
You know, as I said, there's no easy answer on this issue. But I do think that there is some...
I mean, perhaps it's, you know, things are moving so quickly. November's election might be too far. Guterres celebrated BRICS with Vladimir Putin. in Russia this week. I mean, do you see a role for the UN now? I mean, once Iran eliminates Israel, which it has the capability to do, none of these THAAD missile systems, what, they can take 48 down from the sky? I think Iran has hundreds that it could launch and destroy Israel in a few moments. What will the role of the UN be now? And do you see it changing now that we'll have some kind of, the BRICS will replace UN?
No, I think that's, one would like to see that seeing a polar world changing, but I don't have a lot of hope in that. My only hope is in people and in people's steadfastness and people's huge courage. I mean, the most courageous people in the world are people in Gaza who are standing up to this brutal genocide. So I don't plan, I don't put much hope in anything else. But people, and you know, we've seen social media has done so much more important work than the pro-Israeli propagandist regular media. So that falls under the people power, and that's what I believe in. I don't believe in government power, I believe in people power. But it's been a high price. We're paying a very, very high price in lives and in properties and in future and in, the destruction of our future. But I still have hope in people around the world, not just in Palestine. We've seen students around the world. We've seen demonstrations around the world. I do have hope in people, not in government, including the BRICS. I mean, that might be great if they can get over all their internal differences, but my hope is in people.
Professor Daoud Kutab, thank you. That's it for the show. Our continued condolences to those surviving the UK-US EU armed Holocaust. We'll be back on Monday, anniversary of the narrowly averted end of the world when Russia and the USA withdrew missiles from Cuba and Turkey. We'll be talking about secrets, lies and imminent nuclear war with philosopher of science and theoretical physicist Professor Jean Bricmore. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.